Okay, tonight is Tuesday night, June 6th, or 13th day of the month of Sivan. This is the Gemara Shir. We're up to Moed Katan, towards the bottom of Daf Yud Gimel Amud Aleph. Okay, Rabotai. We're up to, in the middle of Daf Yud Gimel Amud Aleph, about five lines after the Gemara begins. About five lines into the Gemara. The issue at hand is as to whether or not one is permitted to hire somebody who doesn't have anything to eat on Chol HaShomoed to work for you, not because you really need the malacha done now, but you want to generate some income for that person. So it's called Schar Pe'ula im Ein Lo Mayocha. That's the Gemara's question. So the Gemara initially thought that we'd be able to resolve this from a case in the Mishnah, where the Mishnah had said, Ein Lokim Batim Avodim Ubehema Ela Litzorech HaMoed O Litzorech HaMocher She'ein Lo Mayocha. It says you are not permitted to purchase homes, slaves, or an animal unless you need it letzorech hamoed. I don't have any place to live. I don't have anything to an animal to eat. So I'm going to have to eat rice, wheels, and cottage cheese. I don't have any an animal to shecht. So under those circumstances, letzorech hamoed, it's mutter. But then the last phrase says, O letzorech hamocher she'ein lo mayocha. If you have a merchant who has nothing to eat, you're allowed to buy something. So that should be an open and shut case. It says, the Mishnah says, you're allowed to purchase something from a person who is selling something if he has nothing to eat. Well, if you can buy something from someone if he has nothing to eat, logic would dictate that you can also hire somebody who has nothing to eat. So the Gemara answered, no. These two cases in the Mishnah should not be understood as what? As two separate cases, but prushe kamafarish. What is the only circumstance when you're even allowed to buy a home, which is letzorech hamoed, and a behema, which is letzorech hamoed? What's the only circumstance? If the mocher has nothing to eat. But schar pu'ula, just to hire a wage, where you don't really need that particular activity, you have no proof from the Mishnah whatsoever. So the Gemara is now going to try to resolve it from some other places. So we're up to Esve Abaye. The Mishnah says, the Mishnah later on, Ein kosvin shtore chov b'moed. You are not permitted to write a document which records a chov on Chol HaShomoed. So if I borrow money from you, you are not permitted to write a document which would indicate that I owe you money. However, v'im eino mamino, if you don't believe me, you don't trust me that I'm going to pay back, and as a result, if you don't have a shtar, I can just deny it. If there are no edim and no shtar, I can just deny it. So if you don't trust me, the Mishnah says you are permitted to do so. Oh, I'm reading the way our Gemara reads. Even though you'll see there's a little star, an aleph, we'll see the bach in a minute. Oh, she'ein lo mayochal, or if the person who is lending the money, or borrowing the money, has nothing to eat, hareze yichtov. Then you're allowed to what? Write the document. Asks the Gemara. She'ein lo mayochal la'asuye mai. What does that second phrase come to add? My lav is, does it not come to include la'asuye schar pu'ula? It should come to include that even if I don't need the money, I'm not borrowing the money because I need it. I'm just going to go ahead and hire somebody to do something for me just to generate some income for him. Now, so that phrase which says, she'ein lo mayochal, then you're allowed to rahareze yichtov, must refer to another case other than ein kosvin shtar chov b'moed, because it already says you're allowed to write a shtar chov b'moed. So what does this particular phrase add? Must be that it's a general statement of la'asuye schar pe'ula. Says the Gemara, shmamina, you're right. The second phrase here, v'im ein lo yomalch mayochal, does refer to a situation where I don't need the work being done, and I simply hire you as an excuse to pay you a wage because you have nothing to eat. So now we're going to read Rashi and the Hagos Habach, and then see how the Ritva disagrees with this particular proof. Take a look at Rashi. The Rashi is, the caption reads, She'ein lo mayochal asuye mai. Says Rashi, im mishum love, if we're talking about that the borrower has nothing to eat, haka'amar im eino lamino mutar. The Gemara already said that the lender is permitted to write a document or have a document written as long as the lender doesn't trust the borrower. Even if the borrower has plenty to eat, if he doesn't trust him, he is already allowed to write the document. So I don't need, if the second phrase in the Braisa is talking about the lover has nothing to eat, I don't need that phrase im ein lo yomal, im ein lo mayochal, to refer to the borrower as the only excuse for which you're allowed to write the document. No, there is another excuse. The malva can just say, I just don't trust him. And that's what the Mishnah already records. So why do I need a second reason why you're allowed to write the document for the lover? I don't have to say, you know, even if he has something to eat. If I just say, I don't trust him, end of discussion, you're allowed to write the document. Im eino ma'ina mutter. Now, that's point number one, which Rashi says. Point number two. How did the Gemara reject the previous attempt to resolve this halacha? How did the Gemara, I just reviewed it, how did the Gemara attempt to resolve it? Prushe kamafarish. By saying that statement B of our Mishnah is really just, it's not to be understood as a second case, but rather what? As the explanation of the Mishnah, under what circumstances you're allowed to buy houses or slaves or behemoth. Says Rashi, V'hacha lo matzi litarutze prushe kamafarish. Here you can't give that sad sack excuse that the second phrase of the Braita is coming to be mefarish the first case. Why not? The hachi misrame milsa. The im eino mamino she'ein lo ya mayochal lav milsahi. Because if you wanted to say that it's all one statement, what would you be saying? It's eino mamino and what else? He doesn't have anything to eat. Says Rashi, the hamatu belav hachi. That's not true. The halacha is independently. If you don't trust him, you're allowed to write the document. So that second phrase would add nothing to the original case. Would add nothing to the original case.
Where do we know that from somewhere else?
Yes, we know that from somewhere else. That's what Rashi claims. Now, if you take a look at the Bach, in on the right-hand side of the page towards the top, the Bach, letter Aleph, V'im eino ma'amino, O she'ein lo ma'yochal, says the Bach, Tevas O mukaf. The word O in the text has parentheses around it. In our Braisa, has parentheses. V'nichto b'tzido, and mi'peirash Rashi, Mashma de lo garas o. It looks the way Rashi is explaining the phrase that what? That it doesn't say the word O at all. So if it doesn't say the word O, it must be that what? That there is apparently two separate cases. Case number one is what? Is you don't trust the borrower. Case number two is he doesn't have what? Anything to eat. Now Rashi says it can't be going on what? That it's explaining that you need two clauses. Because we know from the another source that what? That the halacha is if you don't trust the borrower, even if he's got plenty of food, you're allowed to write the document. So what possibly could this particular phrase mean under those circumstances? What could it possibly add? Hence, says Rashi, here Abaye is compelled to say that this second phrase is independent of what? Of the first case of the Mishnah. First case of the Mishnah is talking about indeed alone. And there the only heter is, if what? You don't trust the borrower. Now comes a second case. O ein lo mayocha. What is that talking about? A totally different case. Not where you don't trust the guy. Where you're going ahead and creating schar, you're hiring somebody, and you want to pay him a wage for only one reason. Because the person has nothing to eat. That's how Rashi learns this particular Gemara. That in this particular case, I could not have said Prushe komafaresh, and Rashi, according to the Bach, does not claim that the word O appears in the text, but therefore there would be a difficulty. Why would I need two excuses if it appears as one run-on case? Why would I need two excuses to allow you to write the document? One suffices. Which one? The first one of Eino Mamino. Hence, the second phrase, Eino Mayochal, is contributing nothing to the original case. Therefore, you cannot say Prushe Komafarish. Kacha Lomeid Rashi. However, take the handout, please. And there are several statements that we're going to check out the Ritva. Says the Ritva, the im Eino, first bracketed thing. The im eino mamino lelove, o she'ein lo mayocha. Now the Ritva specifically does read the text with the word o. And I've told you before that if there are brackets around a word, it means that the majority of the manuscripts have it, a minority do not have it. If there are parentheses around words, it means the majority of the manuscripts do not have it, some have it. So the Ritva, his text had it. And he writes, V'kevon dekatani o, lav prushe komefarish. Since it does say the word o, that is the biggest proof for me that it's not coming to what? To explain the original case. Because if it's coming to explain the original case, why do you need the word o? Just omit it and read it as one run-on sentence. And then what conclusion would you reach? That there are, you need two conditions in order to write a document, a loan document. Condition number one is that you don't trust the fella, the borrower. Condition number two is that the borrower would be so destitute that he has nothing to eat. That's the way the Ritva says I would have read it. V'im kein, but now that there is a word O, li'isuye mai, what is it coming to add? Answer, says the Ritva, li'isuye schar pula. It must come to include a second case of just hiring a worker who has nothing to eat. V'hachi kamar, el she'ein lo l'sofer ma'yochal. If the sofer has nothing to eat, so I'm going to just pay him to write a document for me that I don't really need. What would be the case where I can ask a sofer to write lots of things? So I could have my best friend is borrowing money. I trust my best friend. But I'm going to ask him to write the document in any event. Why am I going to ask him to write the document? Because the sofer, the poet, the worker has nothing to eat. So that's why I'm going to ask.
Did Rashi talk about them with swinging the sofer? Is that new?
No, Rashi didn't say anything that's necessarily the sofer.
It could be the lova too.
Could be anybody. Exactly.
Well, I assumed there was a lova until I.
Yeah. Yes. It could have been. Yes. But that's how the Ritva reads it.
How does the Ritva learn the rejection of the?
That was the next question which you have to ask. The difficulty with the Ritva is that the Gemara just said 5 seconds ago that in our Mishnah, where the word O does appear, no text does not have the word, does not omit the word O, litzorech hamocher she'en lo mayochal, and the Gemara did say, nonetheless, prushe komafarish. And the Ritva writes, no, dafka because it says the word O, that's the only reason why I believe you reject that type of learning. And that's why many Achronim say that's exactly what prompted Rashi and the Bach to say, I believe that the word O is not there. Because if I maintain the text of the word O, then I'm up against exactly the phraseology of the Mishnah. And the Mishnah already rejected the proof that you're allowed to hire a poel simply for the fact that he has nothing to eat, by claiming prushe kamafarish. So I'd be able to do the same thing in this brisa. That's the difficulty, very good, with the Ritva. Many Achronim ask that question.
Does the Ritva also start mention it in a premise anywhere, like Rashi, that we know the halacha from somewhere else?
No, he doesn't. He assumes that he would make that assumption, yes. Because otherwise, you would need it as prushe kamafarish. Right. He's claiming that it's a totally separate.
Because if you know the halacha from before, then the word O is a good way to. I would have normally thought it to reject. I think the Gemara's learning of our Mishnah is more. The rejection of our Mishnah is not the typical reading. Most of us learning it.
As separate cases. Yeah, 100%. There's no doubt.
So we should say vo or should leave it out?
Yes, I agree. That's especially the way that it's. I'm acknowledging you that the Ritva's reading is a very good reading, there's no doubt. But the Gemara just said, I'm rejecting that. So if I reject it, why wouldn't I reject it here? I grant you that the rejection is forced. To claim that the word O appears in the Mishnah and it's only re-explaining the first case is a difficult read, but I can't operate, I can't have it.
No one seems
Rabashi said it.
And no one seems to argue with it.
No one argues with it, yes.
Where it appears in the Mishnah and in Chesamad Beis, Rashi leaves the word O in there. So it's in the Mishnah in Chesamad Beis.
Yeah.
The Rashi there says, O Shein Lo Mashi Yocha was so fair. So
okay.
Rashi himself is
okay, so when we get to Yud Ches, so I'll check it out to see if anybody there says, omit it again.
You're going
to
make us remember?
Yeah, of course. Yes, you're right.
The bottom Mishnah.
What? The bottom Mishnah. In Kosher Shorachai B'mor B'minim Oshin, yeah, it's the exact same thing.
He quotes it down here.
Yeah.
Ryan Rush, the comma, Ryan, what is it? It's the seven. He goes to you in the word of
that.
Yeah. He ever goes to you in the word of that? Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Good point. Have to look at it. That's point number one. Good. Let's continue. Mosiv Rav Sheshes. Rav Sheshes now asks a question. The Mishnah in the fourth perek of Maseches Pesachim says that Makom Shinohagu La'asos Melacha Be'erev Pesach Osin. Makom Shelo Nohagu La'asot Melacha Be'erev HaPesach Einosin. It's the name of the perek, Makom Shinago. And the whole perek discusses things that depend on the local custom. So the first thing is related to Pesachim. Everyone agrees that after Chatzos, it's Usur to do Melacha on Cholosh HaMoed. Everyone agrees on Erev Pesach. Chatzos, Erev Pesach, is Usur to do Melacha. It might even be in Issa D'Oraisa, according to some Rishonim. And the reason is because there's an obligation to bring the Korban Pesach. And when you have an obligation to bring a Korban, you are not permitted to work. In fact, there are many Rishonim who quote a halacha that any day that you bring a Korban, is to be observed as a Yom Tov for you. A day which you bring a korban is designed to be a Yom Tov for you. And it doesn't mean, and there's an Issa Malacha, but it's not the Issa Malacha that we associate with Shabbos and Yom Tov, it's the Issa Malacha that we associated with a chatan and a kala during the Shivas Yemei HaMishneh, the Issa Malacha that we associate with Chol HaShamoed. Don't get involved in something else which will take away your attention for what happened at that particular day. What did you do? You brought a korban unto HaKadosh Baruch Hu. You should focus, be misameach, rejoice, you're in the Beis HaMikdash, Yerushalayim, and so on and so forth. So, and Erev Pesach, everybody has to be in Yerushalayim to bring a korban. Hence, you're not allowed to work on Erev Pesach. After Chatzos, no one allows it. However, Lifnei Chatzos depends on the minhag. So the Mishnah says that even in a community where you're not, where the minhag is not to do malacha, Chachamim omrim shalosh umnios osin malacha ba'arve psachim ad chatzos. There are three types of merchants who are permitted to work on erev Pesach before chatzos. What are they? The chayotin, the tailors; the hasaparin, the barbers; the hakofsin, the laundromats, they are permitted to work. Now, why? Hachayotin shekein hedyot tofer kidarko becholo shomoed. The echayat is allowed to, a tailor is allowed to work, because an ordinary person, somebody who is not a skilled person, a tailor, but a regular balabuster, regular housewife, she can go ahead and stitch up something that she needs for Yom Tov on Chol HaShamoed. And the hasaparin, the hakovsin, why are barbers and laundromats permitted to work on Erev Pesach? Shekein haba'in mimdinas hayam v'hayotze mibeis ho'asurin mutarin l'saper u'lechabes b'chol HaShamoed.
How does that translate to Erev Pesach?
Ah, that's going to be the next part of the shir. He's on a roll today. So because the halacha is, normally, you're not allowed to take a haircut on Chol HaShamoed. Right? We mentioned this a couple of weeks ago. The reason being, because if they're going to allow you to take a haircut on Chol HaShamoed, you're going to be lazy and not take one on Erev Yontif, and you'll look like a slob on Erev Yontif. Why are you not allowed to do laundry on Chol HaShamoed? Same reason. Because if we're going to allow you to do your laundry on Chol HaShamoed, you'll wear dirty clothes on the first days of Yontif. However, people who did not have an opportunity to take a haircut on Erev Pesach, because they were in jail, right? He was in jail. Or he was traveling, he was on a boat, there were no barbers on the boat, and the boat got in on Erev Pesach, late in the afternoon, couldn't do it. So those people, we allow you to do it on Chol HaShamoed. Also, this applies for us, the more practical cases, an Avel. An Avel, Shiva, for Shloshim. Shloshim is not terminated until the Kedushas Hayom of Yontif starts. So the Shloshim is Mevatel the Avelus. Erev Yontif, he can't shave yet. So when can he shave? He's allowed to shave on Chol HaShamoed, and take a haircut on Chol HaShamoed, because he couldn't take a shave on Erev Yontif. So, that's what the Gemara says. Now, the Gemara here seems to be establishing a policy. Namely, whatever is permitted on Chol HaShamoed, you're allowed to engage in Erev Pesach lifnei Chatzos. The Gemara is making a kal v'chomer. Why? What is the kal and what's the chomer? Chol HaMoed is chomer. The Easter of Chol HaMoed has perhaps even a biblical connection, or maybe even a biblical origin. We spent a lot of time at the beginning of when we started Ma'id Katan learning about some Rishonim who held that the Isra of Melacha and Chol HaShamoah is Doraisa. And if it's only the Rabbanan, has an Asmachta, fine. Has some support. Erev Pesach, there's no biblical source whatsoever that what? That you're not allowed to do Melacha on Erev Pesach. Of course not. That's certainly only a Rabbanan. And as a result, it's more Kal. So the Gemara now makes a comparison. If something is permitted on Chol HaShamoah, Kal v'chaymer, ben v'noy shal kal v'chaymer, then it's permitted on Yudal. So now the Gemara is going to apply this principle to our case.
It makes an extra one. Because not only is saying that a regular hedgehog can do it, but even an uman can do it.
That's correct.
So it's like a...
Even further. That is correct. That is correct. Says the Gemara. First wide line. If you're allowed to hire a worker in order to provide money for him because he has nothing to eat. Now let's say the guy is not a barber or a tailor or a laundryman. He's something else. He's a doctor, but he's got nothing to eat. So I'm allowed to hire him to come and check me out, do a health visit.
On Erev Pesach.
Why? Because you're allowed to do it on Chol HaShamoah. And nowhere do we find any source that says you're allowed to hire a worker in any other field other than those three that are mentioned right there. But there are ways to allow other activities besides these three umaniyot, these two, three professions, based on the fact that it's Elo Mayocha. That's the Gemara's question. So Rav Papa challenges this. Maskif la Rav Papa. So Rav Papa is going to challenge this type of logic introduced by Rav Sheshes. Elamayata binyin. If that's the case, you should allow construction on Erev Pesach before Chatzos, because there are cases where you're allowed to engage in construction even if the builder of this construction, the builder, does not have, has plenty to eat. What case is it? Kosel hagohe l'rushus harabim soser ubone kidarko mipnei hasakana. The halacha is that on Chol HaShamoah you are permitted to have a wall that's about to crumble into the public domain. You were allowed to knock it down and rebuild it on Chol HaShamoah based on the fact that we want to avoid an accident. If the wall were to crumble and hurt, and somebody's walking by, they can get hurt. So there is a heter to engage in binyan, even if it's einlo, even if it's yeshlo mayochal. So let's say that on Erev Pesach, construction is permissible. Why? Because there are cases where construction happens to be permissible on Chol HaShamoah, if you want to use your type of logic, So let's take a look at the Ritva for a second.
There's an extra step going on there.
What's the extra step?
Meaning that when you compare it to the first three cases of you're allowing an individual person himself to do that action for no other reason than the fact that he couldn't do it beforehand. The barber, the launderer, and the tailor, you're allowing
No, the tailor is not because he couldn't do it beforehand.
Because I already said that's an extra stuff. It doesn't. That's the one that doesn't fit. Because you're allowing an uman. Because you allowed a layperson.
Right.
It's a special little diuk there that we allowed the layperson. A uman tailor is not allowed to work on Chol HaMoed.
That's correct.
But all these other cases that we just brought up, it's not that the malacha is allowed. Because there's an outside issue that was a special dispensation for that Chol HaMoed.
Right. But that's why they're allowed. But that because we found that there was a special dispensation for Chol HaMoed, we allowed it broad scale on Erev Pesach. The barber can be open on Erev Pesach for anybody.
Okay, but the point is...
And how did we know that? Because the barber can open up only for one special case on Chol HaMoed. Anybody can take a haircut on Erev Pesach. Not anybody can take a haircut on Chol Hashanah. But since this type of activity is permissible under unusual circumstances on Chol Hamoed, we're going to broaden the heter and allow them to work in general on Erev Pesach before Chatzos. So take a look at the second bracketed thing on page number one. Hachayotin v'asaperet v'akosin. V'i sal kedaitach. Schar pu'ula she'en mo mayochal shari b'moed. If we now say that schar pula, paying a worker who has nothing to eat, is permissible in Chol Hamoed, kol melachos nami lishteru biyudalet, then any melacha should be permitted in all circumstances on Erev Pesach. There should be no makom shenagu. Everybody should be permitted to do melacha. Why? Because we found one case where you're allowed to hire somebody in Chol Hamoed to do any type of malacha. What's that case? Ein lo mayocha. Pirish. The Kosalka Daita, the Gemara thinks now in the Havamina, Kevam de Tolitana, Heter Gimel Umnios Biudal, that the reason why the Tana allowed these three professions on the 14th, the Gemara thinks at this time that is the most primary reason why we allow them to work on the 14th. What's the primary reason why we allow them to work on the 14th? Because there's a sad sack case when you're allowed to do it on Chol Hamoed. Ve'ilu haya mutter lasos kol malacha b'moed b'tnei schar pula she'ena yochal haya lonu lahati kol malacha b'yudalit. We should allow every malacha. Shaharei kulam re'uyot lehistaker b'hen b'moed. Everybody could have hired such a guy who has nothing to eat on Chol Hamoed. Umidilo sharinan elagimu malachas elu. Since the Mishnah in Pesachim does not take it on such a broad stroke, what does the Mishnah allow on Erev Pesach before Chatzos? Only those three what? Only those three professions. Michlal must be dischar pu'ula she'en lo mayochal asur b'moed. Must be that what? That the original premise is wrong. You can't ask a question about schar pula because the whole premise is wrong. Schar pula and Chol Hamoed is asur, even if the guy has nothing to eat. That's why it's not included and incorporated in the heter on Erev Pesach. Thereby, Rav Papa challenges Rav Sheshes. Rav Sheshes concluded 5 minutes ago that you are permitted to engage in hiring a worker who has nothing to eat. It makes no difference what profession it is. If that's the case, it should have translated based on the Bryce's principle. If you believe that is the primary reason, it should have translated to allowing all malachot on Erev Pesach. And it doesn't. Must be that this premise is dead wrong. Namely, you can't necessarily engage in schar pu'ula on Chol Hamoed. Because if you could hire somebody for schar pu'ula, the equation would have been continued.
So this is Rav Sheshes asking on Abaye.
That's correct.
Not Rav Papa.
It says Maskevlo Rav Papa.
No, but that's the Rav Papa's asking. No.
Oh, this is Rav Sheshes. Excuse me,
Rav Sheshes on Abaye.
Correct. Okay. Exactly. Okay. Yes, Rav Sheshes on Abaye. Exactly.
What about all the previous cases? Up until now, we've discussed you can't do work on Chol Hamoed. You never qualified them saying if everybody has nothing to eat.
That's correct. We never saw that. But that's what we learned in this Mishnah. That's what we learned in this Mishnah. All the other cases are talking about that they got. Correct. Because we were talking about situations where I want the malacha being done. That's where the Mishnah put in, you know, conditions. You're not the Gemara, right? These are types of malachas where you're not allowed to do it. But the purpose of the malacha being done is because I want it done. Here, I have no need for the malacha. I'm only doing it because the employee has nothing to eat. I don't want to give him stuck. Or he doesn't want
to
take stuck.
I can hire contracts to build on Chol Hamoed.
What?
I can hire contracts to build on Chol Hamoed
if they have nothing to eat.
Okay.
if they have nothing to eat. Yeah, according to this Gemara. Right? That's what the Ritva says. Now, he continues. The Askif Ravina Lahaipircha. He has Ravina. We had.
Because we didn't get there yet.
We
have Rapapa and then Ravina.
Right. Right. But he's going to. I know.
Okay.
He's going to get. He says something right here already.
Okay.
He's going to ask another question. But we read the Rapapas. The Askif Ravina Lahaipircha. The Imkain Deheta Yudala Toli Beheta Moed. Lishtere binyan but yudalit. We should allow construction on the 14th. Share huter b'moed kidarko b'kosel gohed. We will allow you to rebuild a wall that's about to collapse on cholosh moed. Doha afilu teima deschar peula aser b'moed. Even if you wanted to accept the previous conclusion that schar peula is aser on cholosh moed. Because otherwise it would have been mutter when? On Erev Pesach. Okay, so Schar Pula is also on Chol Shemoed. But what are you going to say about Binyan? Binyan is definitely mutter on Chol Shemoed when the wall was about to collapse. So what should you automatically say? Ha Binyan mutter hu b'moed l'divrei hakol. So, therefore he asked his subsequent question. Rav Papa built up on Rav Sheshes. Okay, you want to what? Challenge what? Schar Pula, based on what? On the fact that the Gemara did not allow it on the 14th, only these three. What about Binyan? Binyan is 100% mutter on Cholosh HaMoed. So the Mishnah Im Sachim should have said not only those three professions, but contractors are allowed to work as well if they have, even if they got plenty to eat, they should be permitted to work.
Even if there's no sakana.
Even if there's no sakana, because there is a case where construction is permissible on Cholosh HaMoed. Now he asks his own question. Vikasha Li. Amai paruch me binyan kosel goeb el chud. Why is the only thing that's running through our papa's mind is that you're allowed to engage in chol shemot? You're allowed to be a building that's what? That's collapsing. We've spent the last five blocks learning another famous case where you're allowed to do the work on chol shemot. What is that? Dover ha'avod. Hevelei l'neimar delishtere kol melachos biyadalit. Shaharei kulon hutru b'moed litzoref davar ha'aved. You're allowed to do any malacha in order to prevent financial loss. We've learning this all the time. Doesn't limit it to a particular malacha. All malachot are permissible. Shaharei kulon hutru b'moed litzoref davar. Va'amai atkif mi binyan bilchud. Why is it that what? That he challenges this premise only from what? From Binyan. Why didn't he challenge it from Davar HaAved? Answers the Ritva. The Yesh Loima. Mishum de Bidavar HaAved, Ika Man Deba'ui Shinu. We learned this a while ago. The Machloik is between Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Yossi. Rabbi Yossi says that when you're allowed to do something on Chol Shamad Mimnei Davar HaAved, you can do it in your normal fashion. Rabbi Yehuda, however, said, no, it requires a shinui. Since it requires a shinui, anan lo sharinin biyudalid ela bedavar shahutar b'moed kidarko. That which we are making the comparison between what and what, cholo shomoed and yudalid, is only for something that can be done without a shinui. Kidisna hachayotin shekein hedyot tofer kedarko, because my wife and your wife can sew without any unusual changes. V'dilma masnisin Rabbi Yehuda the boy shinui bedavar avid. Maybe this Mishnah operates like Rabbi Yehuda, who does require a shinui bedavar avid. Lahachi nokat le mia. Therefore, he selects only binyan. The modu kuli alma, everybody says, b'kosel hagoeh shehu bonos ha-kedarkai va'afilu l'Rabbi Yehuda. Even Rabbi Yehuda admits that that wall that posed a danger for the public thoroughfare is permissible on Cholo Shomoed Kidarko. So that's what the Ritva asks and the Ritva answers. Yeah. So let's just read the Gemara's answer for a minute, and then we'll check out more. Maskif la Ravina. Ravina asks the following question. Elameata lavlor lishteri. We should allow a scribe on Erev Pesach before Chatzos. Why? Shekein kosvin kidushei nashim gitin v'shovrin. You're allowed to write a shtar erusin on Cholo Shomoed. You're allowed to write a get on Cholo Shomoed. Vishovrin, you're allowed to write receipts on Cholo Shomoed. So we should allow that too, based on this comparison. How come the Mishnah in Pesachim doesn't allow a scribe to work on Cholo Shomoed? If you're going to continue this line of thinking, why shouldn't you allow them as well? Ella Omar Ravashi. Answers Ravashi, the whole premise is wrong. Moed arba asa karamis. You're gonna create a law based on Cholo Shomoed, and now looking to apply it where? On the Erev Pesach. Moed mishum tirchahu b'makom pseida shadurabana. Moed is an issue of what? Of tircha. That's one of the explanations, that not all of them obviously, but he conveniently selects one of them. Why are you not allowed to work on Cholo Shomoed? Because we don't want you to engage in a lot of effort, because it'll take your mind off, it'll make it like it's a regular weekday, and you're not going to recognize there's an element of Simcha all Shiva Shemeyacha. And therefore become Seder Shor Rabbanah Arba Asar, but the heter on the 14th on Erev Pesach has nothing to do with Tircha Mishum Tzorech Yom Tov Hu. It's why did they allow you to do it on Erev Pesach? These three professions. Why? Because people need clean clothes for what? For Pesach. People need a haircut for Pesach. So the Gemara says, Midi the tzorech yantiv shoru rabbanon, midi the lav tzorech yantiv lo shanu rabbanon. So now take a look at Rashi. The last Rashi before the Mishnah. Mishum tzorech yantiv, shori, kigon hani gimel umnios. Like these three traits. Vesulo, but nothing else. V'hu hadin im ein lo mayochal. We will allow something on Erev Pesach im ein lo mayochal. Why will we allow it on Erev Pesach? Why? The ein tzorich yant of gadol mizeh. There is no greater need than what? Than a guy who has nothing to eat. That's tzorich yant if he's got to work. He doesn't want to take tzedakah. So the comparison is not really analogous. Hence, on Cholo Shomoed, Ein Lo Mayochal will not be sufficient to uproot the Isur of Tircha on Cholo Shomoed and will remain Asur. However, on Erev Yom Tov, we will allow it. Why will we allow it? Because indeed, it's Tzorech Yom Tov. Guy doesn't have anything to eat. We are allowed to create Melacha for him. Kacha Omer Rashi.
So he's rejecting now Abaye?
Yes.
But we just said Shema Mina Abaye.
No, now that's what the Gemara is attacking. That's what all these maskifs are.
Boo.
Now, the Rashi's conclusion is that
Scar, I thought he's rejecting Abaye, Scar Pulon Cholomoli.
Well, yeah, that's what he says.
No, I think he's. I thought he's saying that in addition to the three.
What? No, he allows it on Yudal. Like
right, he's adding another one, but not that he's rejecting Abaye.
It's possible. It is possible, not saying no. You have to say Rav Ashi.
Because otherwise, even Chol HaMoed itself, why would we even get to the question about Schar Pula Shein Lomar Sheyochal? Because once you've already established Davar HaAved, that's your biggest Kal V'chomer. If Davar HaAved is Moderia, you may lose a financial investment, of course, Ma Sheyochal. So without Rav Ashi, you can't even get started in the Gemara. But the whole premise of the question of Schar Pula is very strange.
No, first of all, it might depend on who. Remember, we saw last week a machloikus. Who are we talking about? Ein lo mayochal. The poel, or the what?
Or the employer.
Or the employer, the worker, or the employer. We saw that last week. So, if it's the employer, then there's no comparison to Davar HaAved. Right. If it's the employee, yeah, it might be. Might be. So now take a look at page number 2 for a minute. Look, page number 2. On the top of the page, I bracketed. It's
who's this?
It's also the Ritva. Elam Rav Ashi, Moed Ayudalid Karamis, Moed Mishum Tircha, V'Lav Tirchahu, V'Chol Pseida Shor Rabbanan Yudalid, Shor Rabbanan, Yudalid Tzorech Yom Tovu, Midi Tzorech Yom Tovu Shor Rabbanan, Midi V'Lav Tzorech Yom Tov Lo Shor Rabbanan. Ad Kan L'Shoyin HaGemara. Pireish Rashi Zal V'Chein Kassel B'Toisves. This is what the Gemara's conclusion is. The lav kidosal kadaitach. The ikar shariusa the yudalid tolui b'mashahuta kidarka b'mawei b'lchut. That the Gemara is rejecting our premise. The premise was what is going to be permissible on yudalid, anything that's permissible on chalosh amawei. Tahu taima dafka nokat lisnifin ba'almahu v'smach v'sad. That logic is just a secondary concern.
What are those?
That if it's what?
Go ahead, I'm sorry.
It's a secondary concern that if it's permissible on Chalosh HaMoed, it's permissible when? On Erev Yantav. Aval ikar hatam hu b'nei shahamalachos halolu hein tzarech yantav liklal uprat. The reason why those three professions are permissible is because the broader community needs them, and specific individuals might need them. V'derech b'nei adam le'achram ad yudalit. A lot of people push off taking a haircut. The proof is, you go into Chubby, right? And the line is out the door on every Erev of Yantav. That's the proof. That's why Chubby is so crowded on Erev, because it says it, do it in the Ritva. Delay until Erev Yantav. V'hu adin v'adai disharinan b'yudalid la'asas kol melacha m'mei tzorech p'ula shein lo mayacha. There is no doubt that on yudalid you're allowed to hire any guy who what? Who needs something to eat. Ela d'naka tana ha'hu shuyusa d'umnis deraklal. Why didn't the Mishnah in Psachim mention that you're allowed to hire somebody who is ein lo mayach? Because that's just a specific case. It's talking about I don't really need that malacha being done. The Mishnah is not talking about specific individual cases. It's talking about broad licensed heterim. Broad licensed heterim is only these three professions. Ela d'naka d'mirah. V'haperish hazehu nachon, says the Rav, I like it. Avolu yeshvu lanu lashon ha-gemara. The Gemara itself is not 100% smooth according to the Ritva's view. Why isn't it 100% smooth according to the Ritva? Why not? Why not? So, take a look at page number 3. The Karen Ira is going to try and explain.
He doesn't tell us himself?
He doesn't. He just goes on to quote a Rabbeinu Yedidya, who says, V'loshan ha-sefer ein li liyashev. He goes on to offer something himself in a minute, but let's see the Karen Ira says. For Ayin Biridvazal, we did, just did, Shabir Lashana Gemara Hachi. My Karamas, what do you ask? Came in the Matsinu Heta Bemoei Bechol Malachos, just as we see a Heta to do all Malachos on Cholomoei, Lishtere Biyadal, Heta Gomer. Ze'eno, the Moei Tamalachud, Biyadal Tamalachud. Each one has a separate reason. The Bemoei Mishum Tirchahu, U Mishum Hachi Hetiru Kol Malachos Mishum Sega. But you can't use that as a springboard to permit all malachos on chalos shemoed. The lo heitiru biyudalit elu letzorich yantav ushalo letzorich yantav lo heitiru. The kasav od the lefize mashe amru shekain hedya tofer einze ela snif ba'alma. That which the Gemara says on in the where the Mishnah says that a tailor is permissible because a what? Because a woman is permitted to sew on Chol HaMoed. That's not a serious reason either. That's not the primary reason. That's not the primary reason. Aval ikar hatam hu mishum tzarech yantafu. The primary and exclusive the primary reason is tzarech yantafu. Not even the fact that I see that a woman who is not a professional tailor is allowed to sew kedarko. That's just an added bonus. But that's not the primary reason. Vikoshali.
Why does the Brisa say that?
What?
So the
Brisa itself says that.
The Brisa just
the Mishnah says that. Shekain hedyo tofer kedarko b'chol
shamoed. Right, that's the point. The Brisa that... You know, the words
says, says the Ritva, that's a secondary reason.
So the Brisa leaves out the main reason,
right,
and quotes only.
It assumes that you know what the main reason is. What's the main reason? Tzarech yantav. It assumes it. Asks the Karen Oda, in Cain, amai pligi rabbanan olea de Rabbi Yisib Yehuda beratz onim. Why is it that the Chachamim disagree with Rabbi Yosef, Rabbi Yehuda about shumen, a ratzan. Every guy makes shoes, sandals. Mishum de lo matzinu heta b'chol amoed b'tchilaso. Why did the Chachamim say they don't want you a shumen to be open when? On Erev Pesach? Because we never find that there's any place that says that a shumen is allowed to be open when? On cholos amoed. Why is the that is kaven de ze ein ikar hatam? If that logic is not the primary reason in making a determination, why is that the only thing coming out of the mouth of the Rabbanan why they disagree with Rabbi Yosef ben Yehuda? Elo ikar hatam hu mishum dehein tzorech yantiv. Viratz anim nami tzorech yantiv hu. You know why you should have a shoe man open up on Erev Pesach? Because people need to have their shoes fixed on Chol HaShamoed, so that they should have, on Erev Pesach, so that on Yontif you don't walk around with the damaged shoe. Al Kain Nira Devada Ikaratam Mishum the Matzinu Heta B'Chol HaMoed. Must be that what? The primary reason to allow a certain activity on Erev Pesach is not the way the Ritva said it. It's just the opposite. What is the primary reason? Why? Because I find a heter on Chol HaMoed. Avol davar shelo matzinu heter b'chol hamoed lo heitiru b'yomtov afilu hutzorech yomtov. If we can't find a basis for it, where? On Chol HaMoed, we are not going to allow an Erev Yomtov, even though it is a Tzorech Yomtov. Umishum hachi pligi rabbanan biratz anin. That's exactly, precisely why the rabbis disagree about a shuman. You know why a shuman can't be opened up Erev Pesach? Because I never find any place in Moed Katan that says you are allowed to have a shuman open on Chol HaShamoed. Ela delo yalfinan mima shehuta b'Chol HaMoed. Ela im hutar b'chol hamoed unei tzorach yomtov yalfinan mizeh lahatir. If something would be permitted on Chol HaMoed, for what reason? because it's Tzorech Yotov, then I could apply that rationale to Erev Pesach as well. But that is now the primary reason why I allow something on Erev Yom Tov is because it's permissible on Cholos HaMoed. Exactly the opposite. Aval im hutar b'chol ha-moed machmas pseida, ein lumo mizeh lahatir b'yudal b'chol gavne, afilu l'mitzorach yantiv. If something is also because of davar ha-avod, on Chol HaMoed, if something is mutar on Chol HaShemoed, I do not apply that to Erev Yom Tov, even if it's Litzorech HaMoed. Wow, that's a pretty big statement. Both statements of the Keren Ara are pretty a little difficult. If there is a Tzorech Moed, but it's not been documented as permissible on Chol HaShemoed, it remains also on Yudalit. Why? I have no idea. I don't know why.
But if it's permissible, but it's not Tzorech Yotov, it's also not allowed.
Right. Correct. Mishum dahai hetera eino bichlal Tzorech Yotov. These, an origin, why is it Dover Ha'avod Mutter? Because it's not Tzorech Yotov. That's not why it's permissible on Chol HaShemoed. Because it's Tzorech Yantav. So at the core, Dover Ha'aved is not by definition Tzorech Yantav. Therefore, if it happens, even if it happens to be a Tzorech Yantav when? On Erev Pesach, I'm not going to allow it. Kevan the Guf HaMelacha Eino Nitzrach B'Yantav. Ube'elu Gimel Melachos. But by these three trades, Afal gav shi yesh lahem hetu b'chol HaShemoed l'tzorech Yom Tov lo hutur b'yudalet afilu shelo l'tzorech HaMoed mishum de lo hitiru ela tzorech Yom Tov. And even by these three trades, what's the only time we allow them on Erev Yom Tov? L'tzorech HaMoed. But shelo l'tzorech HaMoed, you can't go to the tailor, you can't take a haircut. If you don't really need a haircut, you can't take a haircut. And you can't go to the laundromat if you have clean clothes available.
So those three all.
Those three happen to be permissible only Litzorech HaMoed.
So basically he's saying, whatever is Mutter and Chol HaMoed,
Litzorech HaMoed,
anything that's Mutter and Chol HaMoed is in the ballpark.
Correct.
Only things that are Tzorech Yom Tov.
Correct.
And then they're only Mutter on Erev Pesach.
Litzorech HaMoed. Correct. So he's really narrowing.
And it's not a Kal Vachomer.
He says, forget it, that's the rejection. That's exactly the rejection. It's not a Kal Vachomer. It's the logic is that there are separate heterim for each day, and one has nothing to do with the other.
But Erev Pesach derives its whatever you want to call it from Chol HaMoed.
Yes,
without Chol HaMoed,
I wouldn't know what's in the ballpark. Right.
If it's not even, you can't even discuss it. If it's not allowed on Chol HaMoed,
correct. But
then you can't even talk about it.
I hear.
So but first it has to be allowed.
Correct. It has to be on Chol HaMoed.
To even talk about it.
That's correct.
Then you have to look at the reason.
That's correct.
This is all Makom Shenahagu. Oh, Shalonahagu. Right?
Shalonahagu.
Right. So, how do you spell Makom Shenahagu?
No, this is by... In Makom Shenahagu, there's no Isur.
There's no Isur.
Because the whole... Correct. The whole thing is based on the Minhag. If there is no Minhag, there's no Minhag. All Malachos are permissible on Erev Pesach in a Makom Shenahagu La'asot Malacha Kodem Chatzos. Yeah. Yeah.
So he didn't tell us what the language bothered him, though.
He did not.
The only thing difference when you read the Gemara is, so it says, for Chol HaMoed, it finishes both sides. It says, Mod mishum tircho, mokom seder shor rabanan. Abasar mishum tzorach yom tov. Right, so actually by the top, it says, midi de lo, midi de lo, it doesn't say midi de lo by Chol HaMoed. Midi de lo.
Tzorech Yom Tov.
No, by the top part, where it says midi mishum tirchu makom seder. So it's just like makom malop seder. That's the only difference,
right?
I don't know what about the language. Oh, what should we tell him?
I mean, it seems like it is a kal vachomer for the Tzorech Yom Tov.
No, he's not saying it's a kal vachomer. He's saying that the Chachamim allowed you to do something on Erev Pesach if they found that this type of malacha is permitted in Chol Hamoed. But it's not necessarily, it might be that that might be behind the Chachamim's logic, but we can't read into it that that was the manner in which they operated. Because if we could read into the way they operated, I now have a right to extend it anytime I want. Because from a Kal V'Chaimer, the halacha is dunin Kal V'Chaimer Me'atzma. You're allowed to make up your own Kal V'Chaimers. You don't need a Masora like Gzeira Shava. Ain't done in Gzeira Shava La'atzma. So here he's telling you, do not be tempted to claim that the rationale is the Kal V'Chaimer. Just happens to be that the Chachamim, it might be in the back of their minds why they allowed it, but that's not the real Isur. That's not the real Heter. The Heter is Tzorech Yantiv. The Heter is Tzorech Yantiv.
So do they disagree on Ein Shem Mishenu Yes? Someone has something to eat. So does the...
No, he doesn't. Yeah, the Karen Ayer is going to answer it.
Answer.
Why? Because there is no head. That it's not by definition Tzorech Yantov. The Malacha by definition is not Tzorech Yantov. It's a personal need, but not the Malacha. This malacha has no purpose whatsoever if you're hiring a guy just to give him some money. It's not for Yantav, just to make him some money for him. But that's not... The malacha has to be defined as Tzorech Yantav. So a shoeman, according to Rabbi Yossi and Rabbi Yehuda, a tailor, a laundromat, these malachos, by definition, are Tzorech Yantav. Yes?
What about Binyan v'makom sakana?
What?
Binyan v'makom sakana.
What about it?
On Erev Yantav. Is there a possibility that would not be permitted?
No. No, of course it would be permissible.
What about even after Chatzos? I mean, it just seems to me like that is such an outlier.
It probably... I didn't see it, but I would imagine if there's a sakana, you can't do it. You can do it. You can do it. Yeah.
But the Gemara never even challenges the Rav Papa's premise of...
No, it doesn't.
It's a totally different category.
That is correct.
So that's where Ravina's category is a better one. That he brings the sofa and...
That's
the...
correct. Mm-hmm. Yes.
Yeah. So, okay.
All right, we'll stop here. Continue next to Bach. Next week again, Tuesday night, Mincha 7:45. But the one after that, now I have something on the Tuesday night also, so I can't do it Monday night, Tuesday night, or Wednesday night. So I'm willing to give the share that Sunday morning at 8:45. What's the date on that? The 20th, I believe.
18th.
What?
18th.
The 18th?
No.
It's the 4th, the 11th, the 19th.
18th.
Monday's the 12th, Monday's the 19th, so it's the 18th.
No, I said Sunday morning. The Monday night chair, which is scheduled for the 19th, was pushed to the 20th, will be on the 18th at 8:45 a.m. If people are willing to come, I'll ask you next week. What time is it?
7.
Down
the
now?
Yeah. Sit down right outside.
Yeah. I have 2 on the 5th.
Both of you guys are doing the same thing, Ed.
Yeah.
But each of you are rooting for different teams.
It's 123 pitches already in the 5th inning.
What? Oh, you the guy by now?
Yeah. Well, I just remember Devin Minka.
Is there a chiyuv here? What? Oh, go ahead. Go ahead. Good, good. Which way? I think it's that way.
Rahman,